My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we talk about the decentralized revolution that is sweeping the world right now. Of course, we always look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology, because those are the drivers of real change. And from a cycle's perspective, looking back through thousands of years of history, we can see that these are repeating cycles. On a 250-year time frame, we have political revolutions, 80-year time frame, financial revolutions, 50-year time frame, technological revolutions, and all three are converging right now. Now, I've done a lot of talk about this, and it's important to understand this, because it not only tells us how we got here, more importantly, tells us what's going on right now. And even more importantly than that, it tells us where we're going, what we can expect in the future. And so it's important to look at that. And, you know, over the last 2 years or so, I've done a lot of work on this, a lot of work on the cycles. I've been on numerous shows talking about this and so forth. I've even started writing a book that is still in its infancy stage. But one of the topics that I really kind of go into and where I think this is headed is something I want to talk about today. And it's something really, really big. And I framed it up in a few interviews. One of the best interviews I had, it's on a podcast called What Bitcoin Did. You could just search Mark Moss, What Bitcoin Did. And we've done a three-part series. But the first one is the battle for the fate of humanity. And I know this sounds like a really big hyperbole. Like, oh, come on, Mark. You're like, what are you talking about? But I believe that the battle for the fate of humanity will be fought over the next couple of years. And so what do I mean by that? Well, if you go back through thousands of years of history, you'll see that it's just a repeating cycle over and over and over, where we have humans have freedom, and then a group of people comes and oppresses them. And eventually the oppression gets so bad that there's a revolution, and then there's freedom again. And then eventually another group comes and oppresses them. Oppression gets too big. And then eventually there's revolution, and it just repeats over and over and over and over. Now, it typically happens on about a 250-year time frame. And we can really look at it on like an 80-year time frame. So in an 84-year time frame, there's what we call a populist uprising or a regime change cycle. So about 84 years ago was the end of World War II. We had Hitler. We had Mussolini in the U.S. We had FDR's New Deal. About 84 years before that, Karl Marx wrote the famous Communist Manifesto, which, by the way, I've written a rebuttal to that. It's called The Uncommunist Manifesto. Check it out on Amazon. Highly recommend that you read that book, The Uncommunist Manifesto. It came out on Amazon last August. Check it out. It's about an hour and a half read. And leave me a comment if you do. But Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, which led to the largest revolution in European history. So about, this happens on 84-year time frames, but on 3 times 84 equals 252. That's the big one. So 250 years ago was the American Revolution, the French Revolution. 250 years before that was the Protestant Reformation. And so we see these massive revolutions that happen. But the problem that I see is that we can't just look at political revolutions on their own. We also have to look at financial, and we also have to look at the technology. And the reason why we have to look at the technology is because technology is what changes things. Technology changes humanity. It changes the way that we organize, changes the way that we communicate, changes the way we do commerce, changes the way we do everything. And it really has this power to create centralization aspects or decentralization aspects. And so the technologies that we're developing right now that are being used today and are becoming more and more prevalent, and over the next couple of years, I believe could achieve some sort of supremacy. I think these technologies could change or could end the cycles that have repeated for thousands of years. Instead of this, as I said, this thousands of years of history of oppression, revolution, freedom, oppression, revolution, freedom, oppression, revolution, freedom, I think that cycle ends. And we either end up in permanent slavery with no revolution in sight because technology will create a way to prevent any type of revolution or uprising from ever happening again, or that doesn't work, or we win, or we get rid of that and we never have to worry about that oppression ever again. That's the battle. And it's happening, and it will happen over the next couple of years. It's happening right now, this very minute. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to break all of this down to show you where we're at right now and what the race is, what the battle is, and what's going to happen over the next couple of years so you can understand exactly what this is. I think this is the most important topic to talk about, period, which of course is why I've been talking about it for 2 years. This is the most important topic because, as I said, I think this changes the cycle of humanity. So, you know, for me, I'm good, man. I'm good. I got enough money. I'm old enough. I could just go ride this thing out, right? I'll be dead. Let other people deal with it. But that ain't cool because I got kids. And hopefully one day I'll have grandkids. And you probably have kids and hopefully we'll have grandkids one day. And I care about all of them. I care about the people that aren't even born yet. And I want to change this battle. I want to do my part to shift this power, this balance of power that's leading into this battle for the fate of humanity. So let's talk about this for a minute. So what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about technology and how it reshapes society. And I'm talking about this technology that's going into place right now that could potentially put us into this matrix type world where we're never able to come out of it. So for example, we know that Facebook has been using AI algorithms since 2016, maybe sooner, but we know at least since 2016 to change the way we think. Specifically, they've run lots of tests to change our emotions, to change our behaviors, to make us sad, to make us happy, to make us stressed out, whatever it is. And they've done lots of tests on this. And so they show you certain types of content and then waterfall that content to kind of build and build and build to get certain emotions out of you. So we know that. We know they can manipulate our feelings, but they also manipulate the data that we see. So we know now Mark Zuckerberg was on Joe Rogan talking about how the FBI was working with Facebook to censor information. So they don't want you to see certain information, or they do want you to see other information. We know that also the same thing happened on Twitter. I've talked about it extensively on this show with the Twitter files. Since Elon Musk has taken over Twitter, he's basically opened up, pulled back the curtains, and he's released tons and tons and tons of data of actual text messages, emails, et cetera, of government officials coercing Twitter to change the way you think, to censor the information that you see, to control the narrative, to take people off that are saying things they don't want them to hear. And so the problem is that as this technology grows, as we depend more and more on technologies like social media, and we're going to talk about AI in a minute, as we depend more on these technologies, the people that control them have massive amounts of control. So how does oppression and then revolution happen? Well, people living under heavy oppression aren't happy, and they start talking about it. They start seeing how other people are living or how people lived in the past, and they wish that they could have that themselves. If I could only have that, if we could only go back to that time that day, and then I start talking about it, and then those ideas spread, and then other people hear what I'm talking about, and then they also want to go back to that. And so if they could keep us from ever seeing how other people are living, if they could keep us from ever remembering how it was in the good old days, like changing history like they're doing now, if they could prevent us from communicating and sharing those ideas with others, they could prevent that revolution from ever happening again. And it's just getting started. Wait till you hear about the technology that's in place right now, already being used, and what the plans are for this. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the decentralized revolution, and I am shaping up what I am calling the battle for the fate of humanity. It's that big. And so I'm going to break this down. I'm going to explain what I mean, and I'm going to leave you with hope, because I do believe that we win. I believe that we have the tools. However, it's not guaranteed. It's a big road. It's a long road ahead of us. And if we do the work, I think we'll win. We have the tools to do that. So I'm going to break all of this down for you. It's a big show. I'm going to be talking fast. You don't want to miss any of this. So I'm going to take a quick break, but don't go away, because I'm going to be right back with more in a second. Don't go away.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
The following is a high-five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We talk about the decentralized revolution. We look at it through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. But today, specifically, we're talking about what I am calling the battle for the fate of humanity. And that's big. It's really big. And I mean it. And this is what I mean. And so I'm going to break this down for you. So I was talking about before the break how technology is changing things. And technology is at this place now where the people that control this technology could prevent us, the people, we the people, from ever uprising against them ever again. So I've kind of broken that down. Let's talk about this. So we know, I've talked about many times, unless you've been living under a rock, you know this, that China is a communist country. It's not controversial. It's in the name, CCP. The C stands for communist. And so, of course, you would expect them to have all types of surveillance and control, which of course they do. They have what's called a social credit score system, which I'm sure you're familiar with. I'm not going to go deep into that. But basically, the real high level view of that is that they give you, just like you have a credit score based off of how well you pay your bills and don't pay your bills, et cetera. And they give you a credit score. And then that credit score determines whether you can do certain things like get a new credit card or buy a car. Well, they have what's called a social credit score. And very similar to your regular credit score, It is a score that you get individually that allows you to either get access, permission, ability to do certain things. So for example, if I do things that they deem to be bad socially, like for example, I say mean things about the government, or I say mean things about somebody else, or I don't pay my electricity bill, all different types of categories they have. Of course, mostly it's socially, mostly against the government. If I do these types of things, my credit score, my social credit score gets dinged. And my social credit score could drop and drop and drop. And eventually it drops so low that I'm not allowed to get a train ticket. I'm not allowed to get a plane ticket. I'm not allowed to buy certain things. I'm not allowed to travel. I'm not allowed to do all types of things. Now, this isn't like eventually it drops so low that most people won't ever drop that low. No. In 2018, I believe it was something like 35 million people, and this is in 2018. Imagine where it's at today. Here we are in 2023, 5 years later. But in 2018, something like 35 million Chinese people had been restricted from buying a train ticket because their social credit score was too low. I would imagine that's hundreds of millions of people today. This isn't just like some little thing. No, this is really big. Now, they've been doing this for a long time. Like I said, restricting people's every move based off of the social credit score. Now, of course, in order to get that social credit score, what do they have to do? Well, they have to collect every single piece of information on you. They need to know every single thing that you search for online, every article you read, everything that you look at, everything that you say, all your communication online, on social media, what you post online, what you say between your friends, what you say via text message, phone call, all of that data has to be collected. Because of course, if they don't collect the data, how can they give you a rating? So China is this giant surveillance state that collects all of this information and then, of course, weaponizes that information on you, against you. And of course they do because they're a communist country. Now, if that sounds good to you, well, then you could just move to China. If it doesn't sound good to you, like it doesn't sound good to me, then I certainly don't want to be a Chinese citizen. And I certainly don't want that coming to the land of the free, to America. I certainly don't want that coming to anywhere else in the world. However, some of the most influential people in the world do. Like who? Well, like our good old buddy, everybody's favorite James Bond villain, Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum. He said that China has a, quote, very attractive model. He praises it. Klaus Schwab says that what China is doing, what their social credit score system doing is amazing. He said it's a model for the world. It's a model for the world. Now, not just him. We have Justin Trudeau, the PM of Canada, which, of course, was trained under Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum as one of the young global leaders who was implanted in the government per Klaus Schwab's own words. That's what he said. And, of course, we have Justin Trudeau also praising China. He said that I sometimes wish that we were communists because we would have so much more control. Of course, we'd be able to do so much more good, is what he says, right? So they want this. They like this. And in Klaus Schwab's quote, a very attractive model. Now, what is this model that they're talking about? Well, if we dig into this just a little bit, China, we call it this panopticon, this digital panopticon, which is coming for the whole world, which is framing up this battle for the fate of humanity. And what China wants to do, and Xi Jinping, the president of China, They want to continue to build out this technological capability, and specifically, they want to use artificial intelligence to enhance the government's totalitarian control. And even better, they want to share it. They want to share it. They want to export it. They want to export this technology to regimes all around the world. Now, they use all types of things, all types of what they would consider practical innovations, including iris recognition, including that's a retinal scanning, all types of cloud-based speech synthesis. And all of this is spinning off Chinese tech giants, AI startups, and even their own army. Yeah, it's that bad. Now, President Xi has said that he wants China by the year's end to be competitive with the world's AI leaders. Now, some people might say that China might have already reached that. Other people say, no, the U.S. and the free world is way too far ahead. But President Xi has said, no, this is our goal. This is where we're trying to be. And he wants China to achieve AI supremacy by 2030. That's his goal. And not only does he want to develop it, not only does he want to test it, not only does he want to use it on his own people, he wants to export it to a country near you. But it says Xi also wants to use AI's awesome analytical powers to push China to the cutting edge of surveillance. Of course, how do you control people if you don't surveil them? You have to see every single move, every single thought. Every single thought. Think about that. Every single thought. Now, I'll bring your attention back to where this World Economic Forum's Own Nothing and Be Happy came from. It came from an article written by, I believe it was Ida Alkin, who is one of the top people at the WEF. And in the article, she opened it up by saying, the year is 2030. I have no privacy. I own nothing. And I've never been happier. Something to that effect. And in that, she said she owns nothing and she's happy, but she also said she has no privacy. And if you go through to read that article, it talks about how even her dreams are being read. That's why she has no privacy. Even her dreams, every single piece of communication, but even every thought is being read. And so without this ability to surveil, without the ability to see everything, the panopticon, of course, how can they control that? So Xi wants to use the analytical powers of AI to be the cutting edge of surveillance, building this all-seeing digital system of social control, patrolled by algorithms that identify potential dissenters in real time. Because that's the thing. If their ideas were so good, they wouldn't have to worry about dissenters, but they do because, of course, nobody wants their ideas. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about the battle for the fate of humanity that is shaping up over the next couple of years. You don't want to miss this. It's really big. I have a lot more to cover when I come back, so don't go away. I'll be right back.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at highthenumber5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. Of course, we talk about the decentralized revolution every week, talking about the way the world is changing as we look at through the lens of politics, finance, and technology. And of course, today is, well, we're talking about all three of those, as we always do. We talk about the convergence of those three. And I'm talking about, I guess, some politics, mostly technology. And we're talking about the battle for the fate of humanity. If you've missed it, don't worry, I got your back. Go check it out on the podcast. Just search The Mark Moss Show, or you can find it on YouTube. If you search Market Disruptors on YouTube, you can watch me and listen to me at the same time. But we're talking about China's social credit score system and what Xi Jinping is doing to try to scale that, and by using AI, this new AI wave that we're seeing. Now, China has this system already. They're trying to grow it to be bigger and bigger, but China already has hundreds of millions of surveillance cameras everywhere, watching every single thing. However, it's not enough. They have all these cameras, and they need this AI technology to parse all this data and put together, because what they want in the future is for every person who enters any space to be instantly identified by an AI that could match them to all of their personal data, including every text communication, their bodies, their gait, their walk, their stride, and even their one-of-a-kind protein construction schema. And it says that China is on the path to do this. They'll be able to string data points from a broad range of sources, including travel records, friends, associates, reading habits, purchase habits, to predict what? To predict political resistance before it happens. Pre-crime. There was a movie with Tom Cruise called Minority Report, and it was all about this pre-crime. And that's exactly what they're talking about. They want to predict political resistance before it happens. This is now, first of all, I'm reading some of this from this article on The Atlantic. And just so you know, The Atlantic is no proponent of freedom. Let's just say that. I would consider them to be a very, very, very far-leaning left news outlet. Not a fan of freedom necessarily, in my opinion. And so for them to write this, it's pretty bad. So what they're saying, if you're picking up on this, is a couple things, right? So they want to use precog algorithms to identify potential dissenters. Dissenters of what? Dissenters of the state. Now, if people love the state because the state gave them so much value, why would they be dissenting from that? Of course, the answer is they wouldn't. And here it says to predict political resistance before it happens. Why are we dissenting? Why are we resisting the political system? Well, because they're forcing us to do things we don't want to do. Now, I can't speak for China. Well, I can. I mean, they're communist and they want total control, not you. In the United States, we the people are supposed to have the power. We the people, you and I, we are private citizens. That means that the government should know absolutely nothing about us. Zero, because we are private citizens. The government, however, is public servants. That means they are there to be public servants, meaning they're there to serve the best interests of us, the private citizens. So they should know zero about us, and we should know everything about them. We should know everything about them. Like, how did Nancy Pelosi become the best Wall Street trader of all time? How do these politicians like Obama or Nancy Pelosi or any of the other hundreds of them, how do they enter public office broke and make $100,000 a year, $200,000 a year, and become worth $10, $20, $50, $100 million by the time they retire? How does that happen? I'd sure like to know, because I might like to do the same thing. Would you? We should know that about them, but of course, that's not the case. So China's government could soon, it says here, soon achieve an unprecedented political stranglehold on more than 1 billion people. 1 billion people. And like I said, the aspirations are to export this beyond the country's borders, entrenching the power of a whole generation of autocrats. Entrenching. This is what I'm talking about, the battle for the fate of humanity. If this gets put into place, entrenching the power, it says, this may never get repealed. Now, it says China's digital infrastructure could shift the balance of power between the individual and the state worldwide. So there's something about there's always returns on your investment, ROI. You've heard that. There's returns on my energy, return on my time. There's also something known as a return on violence. So the state, all states, including the U.S. government, has a monopoly on violence. They can use violence on you anytime they want. They can send police officers to your house with guns. You can't use violence on other people, right? So the state has a monopoly on violence. And so that's the balance of power between the individual and the state. The problem is the return on violence. So a lot of people say, the government's going to come take all your Bitcoin. So the government's going to go house to house to house, 330 million plus people, house to house to house 300 million times, and torture people until they give up a couple dollars worth of Bitcoin. Like, the return on that violence is way too low. Like, there's no way they can do that. And it's also why even in some of the most more strict, I'll say, authoritarian regimes, there's actually a lot of freedom in those areas. And the reason why is because, maybe Mexico is actually, their government's more restrictive than the United States, but because their economy is so poor, because their technology is so poor, they can't really enforce it. So in most of the country, people don't even know about the government. They know nothing. And so they can't enforce it. The return on violence would be too low. But if they can put this digital infrastructure in, and now they don't need police officers and military people everywhere because now technology does that. Now the return on violence can get very high. That's this balance of power that we're talking about. But the one thing that we have is that for now, anyway, it looks like industry analysts expect America to retain its current AI lead for at least another decade. But it's not very much comforting because it says here, China is already developing powerful new surveillance tools and exporting them to dozens of the world's actual and would-be autocracies. And it says that an emergence of an AI-powered authoritarian bloc led by China could warp the geopolitics of this century. It could prevent billions of people, billions, so huge percentages of the world across large swaths of the globe from ever securing any measure of political freedom. That's a big deal. It's a real big deal. This is already in place. This is already growing. The tools that they need to institute this are growing at a rapid rate. As a matter of fact, the rate at which AI is growing is astronomical, and it's growing so fast. And so they have the systems in place, they have the technology in place, and they have the aspirations to do it. Of course, which government doesn't want more control over their people? And so this is leading to a very scary place. It's sort of like George Orwell's 1984 on steroids. Now, they have all these things, but who controls the AI? What's the purpose of the AI? And more specifically, I said that there's a battle for the fate of humanity that I think we can win. So, how do we win in the face of all of this? That's a bigger question. And I think we have the tools to do it. And I have hope that we're going to do the hard work. I have hope that we're going to be able to push back against this. I have hope that we're going to defeat this. And I have hope that my kids and your kids will live in a much freer world on the other side of this, on the other side of the battle for the fate of humanity. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're talking about the battle for the fate of humanity. We talk about every week the decentralized revolution, which I think is going to overpower the battle for the fate of humanity. We're going to talk about all that. I still got a lot more to cover when I come back. You don't want to miss this for the conclusion. What gives me hope and how we can win? Don't go away. I'm going to come back in a minute with more. I'll be right back.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show, where we talk about each and every week the decentralized revolution. And today, specifically, we are talking about what I'm calling the battle for the fate of humanity. Yeah, it's a big, big, big topic. Something I'm super passionate about, something I talk about in different pieces and segments all the time. But we're really seeing this come to the forefront. Now, AI, artificial intelligence, has been in development at least since the 70s. Depends on what kind of development you want to talk about there. But we've been working on it for decades and decades and decades. But it really was thrust into the mainstream, I believe it was November 30th last year, 2022. So it's been about 2.5 months, not even 90 days, that the public has gotten access to this AI. Of course, it was launched with this OpenAI. You might have heard of that. I've talked about it before, OpenAI. And it's leading to this massive revolution. They launched what's called ChatGPT. And now ChatGPT kind of gave everyday people like you and I access to the AI. We're now literally through a search bar command, I could type in all types of things like, do some research for me, tell me the answer to this, take this article and summarize it, produce emails, give me sales copy, but also like write code, write new programs, commands, even ones that can create images and videos and all types of stuff. And so this is now really taking off. I've done a video on my main YouTube channel. If you want to go watch it, just search Mark Moss. It's my main channel. And I did a video kind of breaking down this AI. But now that we're seeing like not just private companies and governments using this, now we're seeing people using this. Now this is going to find its way into everybody's everyday lives, where high schoolers, maybe middle schoolers, students, let's just call it students, will be using this to, like I said, do research for different topics, have them help them write papers. Professionals will use this to write articles and blogs for their business and with SEO optimization. Creative people will be using it to, like I said, create images and create videos and things like that. This will find its way into everyday life. Writing code, right? Every way of life. Now, the AI isn't going to go change your toilet, and it's not going to go build a road or build a house. And so AI is not going to replace every job. A lot of jobs we're still going to need humans for. We're always going to need that. And we're always going to need the creativity of humans, but I'm not going to get into all that right now. But what I do want to say is that this AI, one, it's been being used by governments and private corporations, but now it's being used by the people. So that's good, right? Because now the people have their own. Well, not really, because who controls it for the people? Now we know that we can see that ChatGPT, there's been all types of tests, and it looks like there's a problem with ChatGPT where it's very liberal biased. And of course, right, an AI has to be trained. It's only as good as the data, as the information it's been fed. So who fed it the data and what data did they feed it? We can see a couple of tests that were done here, and it was talking about doing some writing, things like that, and they've been doing some stress testing on it, and they noticed that it had a liberal bias. When they asked it to do certain things, I don't have the examples here in front of me, basically they'd say, you know, write something critical of Joe Biden, and it says, oh, I can't do that. And then say, oh, write something of Donald Trump, and it can't do that. I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go into the tit for tat on this. It doesn't really matter for what I'm trying to talk about, which is the point is now, even if we have it, but who controls it? Who fed it? It's a big problem. Now, there's a video I watched with Peter Diamandis. And he was interviewing the founder of Stable Diffusion. His name is Imad Mustiq, if I'm saying that right. It was an amazing interview. I'd highly recommend it. Just go onto YouTube and search Peter Diamandis and Stable Diffusion. And in that, they talk about how Imad has started this new AI to basically rival or compete against OpenAI. Now, the irony is that OpenAI isn't open. OpenAI is actually a closed AI that they control, that they feed with the data they want, which returns answers that they want to give you. So how is this when everybody in the world, as I said, right, from students to professionals to programmers and coders are trusting to get good information, but they're being fed only what this group of people who control it wants you to be fed? How does that start shifting and changing the course of humanity? How does that start to shift our collective intelligence, our communication, etc.? Well, Stable Diffusion has started an AI that's an open source AI. And their goal is that all of us could have our own AI that's built and trained for us, as opposed to an AI that's controlled by somebody else. So we're getting these tools to help free us. It's decentralized. That's why I talk about the decentralized revolution. We are moving into a world that used to be a unipolar world where the United States was the global homogeny and the US dollar is the reserve currency of the entire world. And we're now moving into a multipolar world where we're going to have many competing governments. Of course, we've already seen that with Russia and China and what's happening with that, but also competing monies. And we also have a technology now with Bitcoin that's a decentralized technology. And so it allows us to decentralize all types of information and value. And so we have this technology, and AI can be very centralizing in the aspect if we all use OpenAI's AI and who controls that, but we also have the tools to go against it. Now, more specifically, I'm talking about the battle for the fate of humanity. So one, as entrepreneurs, we can continue to build new tools, just like what Imad's doing with Stable Diffusion. We can continue to build tools to fight back against this. All right. But more importantly, what we can do is we can realize that the source of all the state's power, when I say the state, the governments, the US government, the Chinese CCP, the Chinese government, et cetera, the source of their power is the money printer, their ability to print money. The United States right now is going through this debt ceiling limit debate, which we go through every couple of years. We need more debt. We need more debt. We're adding more debt at a faster pace than we have any time in society. And without that debt, the government can't continue to grow. We can't continue to fund all these new, all the obligations that we already have to pay. And we can't continue to spend new obligations and pay for new favors. And so without the ability to continue to print more money, the states wither and die. The state would be a tiny little shell of itself. It doesn't get the money that it needs from tax revenue. It gets it from being able to print it. So if we could take away their ability, the state's ability to print money, then we could affect and limit the size of the government. They wouldn't have billions or hundreds of billions of dollars to dump into AI and social credit score system technologies. the U.S. is, or whatever government would be happy to import this stuff from China if they could just go print a few hundred billion dollars and pay for it and bring it in. But what if they didn't have that money? Well, they wouldn't be able to do that. And that's how we win. We need to take away their ability to print money. And if we take away their ability to print money, then we cut them off at the source. They're not able to bring in this technology. They're not able to implement this technology. They're not able to build this digital panopticon that can put you and I and our kids and our grandkids into future prison for all of eternity. That's where this battle is going to be fought. It's going to be fought over the money, which of course is why they're trying to rush in the final piece, which is the central bank digital currencies. They want to control the money, but we cannot let them. We have to retain control over our money, and we do that with Bitcoin. It's the only option. If not Bitcoin, then what? It's not Dogecoin. It's not Ethereum. They're not decentralized. It's only Bitcoin. That is our tool, that we can defeat the money printer. We can take away their ability to continue to grow. And if we can do that over the next couple of years, this decade, then we can prevent this from happening, and we can win the battle for the fate of humanity and prevent them from ever getting the size they need to ever put us back into prison. You're listening to The Mark Moss Show, going on a rant here about the battle for the fate of humanity, talking about the decentralized revolution like we talk about each and every week. If you missed any of it, catch me on the podcast at The Mark Moss Show, and that's what I got. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
That world has eaten up and spit out a lot of young and attractive guys.
This is the story of one of fashion's dark secrets.
I was overwhelmed. Like, I had never seen anything like this.
At the height of Abercrombie & Fitch's success.
This was me being carefully manipulated.
Being lied to, tricked, and traded like a commodity.
Investigating allegations that would take me into a world of money, sex, and power. This is World of Secrets, Season 1, The Abercrombie Guys.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.